Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. 2 weeks talking.
It is what it is.
Peace. What up, family? We are back in the building. This is Cosmic Kev, a.k.a. Brother Kev.
And this is Rigel.
And this is Bianchi.
Yes, indeed. And we are Collective Minds Radio, y'all. We back. We have a special guest filling in for our brother Mufasa Ra. We have brother P, Bianchi with us. You with us, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing very fine, boy. It's some
yes,
hard
indeed.
Shoes to fill. I tell you, I had to go to the track and run a mile or so and do some calisthenics and push-ups to make sure I'm ready.
Yes, indeed, family. So we are here. You feel what I'm saying? Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate it. Hope everybody had a wonderful week. As we get started, this is Collective Minds Radio. We ain't all got to think alike, but we all got to think. And, yeah, we here. We about to get it started. You know, hopefully we're going to share some interesting dialogue with the family, get your week started right. Collective Minds, not a spectator sport, so make sure y'all hit us up. The number is 929-477-1697. We are doing open discussion, so hit us up. Let us know what's on your mind. Anything, you know, that's been pressing you for the week, we here. You know what I'm saying? We are family. This is Collective Minds. We are a collective. So make sure y'all hit us up. And before we get into the conversation, Queen Rigel, how was your week, and do you have any announcements for us?
I had a great week. No announcements. I keep it short. Just thankful. That's it.
All right, all right. And Brother Bianchi, how was your week, my brother, and do you have any announcements for us?
Well, I wanted to announce, you know, this past Veteran Day, we got a lot of veterans in the community. And
that is true.
They don't get the recognition that they should. I wonder who the oldest veteran that we would have as far as which war that they fought in. Of course, we know we got Vietnam and probably got some Koreans, but do we have any World War II veterans in the community? I wonder. It would be nice
possibly,
if you could just.
Yeah.
And you know, when you bring people like that on and interview them, there's so much to learn from and listen
That's
to
true.
The things
yeah.
that they have to talk about from their experiences.
That is true.
That is true.
That's a good idea. Maybe, you know, interview some black veterans or, you know, any veterans. But, that's a good idea. But, yeah, shout out to all the veterans. You know, we do appreciate you. You know, I do be on the fence just real quick because I'd be like, you know, as far as the political reasons that they're going to war, I don't know if I support, you know, the way, you know, the United States foreign policy is as it relates to war. But I do understand men wanting to, you know, fight for their country, fight for their family. You know, have some type of honor and discipline and all that stuff. So I do respect all those virtues, but I don't agree with the military apparatus known as the United States and how they conduct themselves. But that's just me. You know what I'm saying? That's just Brother Kev. But for what it's worth, you know, I do respect the veterans and, you know, a shout out to the work that they put in. I just don't agree with the, let's say, political policies of this country. And that's just me. So I just wanted to put that out there.
And you know, they're not just males neither. You got some female veterans out there too.
That is true. That is true. That is true. Mm-hmm. So no disrespect. Yes, we do have female veterans out there as well. So shout out to everybody, you know, who put their lives on the line for, you know, for what they believe to be a righteous cause. So,
right.
Yeah, shout out to them, both men and women. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, family, we are here. We are in the building. I'm going to give you guys a chance. You know, if y'all want to put something on the table, that's Queen Rigel and Pianchi. Brother P, if y'all want to put something out there on the table, I got a couple things I wanted to hit on, but, you know, I want to defer and give y'all the opportunity to put something out there. We can discuss it, and then we'll get to the call line. So, Queen Rigel, did you have something you want to put out there?
Nothing in particular. I like to just kind of, you know, piggyback off of some other topics that you guys may bring up. I'll pass it to P.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that we're talking about. I see the courts, as far as the COVID and the mandate is concerned, they put Biden's orders, or should I say his recommendations, on hold.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah,
and
we talked
that's
about
a good
that.
Thing. Mm, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, I think that's a good thing too. Most definitely.
Yeah. So does that mean these companies won't be making the vaccine mandatory? Does that all fall underneath that? Or are they just talking about the mandate for the mask or something?
The mandate for the mask and also for
the vaccine
in some case.
Okay.
Yeah, so just to give the listeners an update for those that don't know, the Biden administration came down with a mandate for companies and corporations with over 100 employees. They were saying that, you know, all employees would have to get vaccinated or be subject to get tested every week. And as soon as they dropped the mandate, no longer they had to retract it because they was getting a lot of lawsuits from governors, different CEOs of companies basically pushing back on the mandate. Like, no, we're not with it. You know, we don't want to get tested every week, and we, you know, don't think we should have to be force our employees to get the jab. So, yeah, the pushback came from, like I say, a lot of different CEOs, governors of Republican states, you know, and things like that. And the pushback is real. But like P say, I think that's a good thing. You know, that mandate was very overreaching, in my opinion. It's like, you know, you going into invading people's privacy. We've already seen some unprecedented things when it comes to this COVID as it is. But now you want to push these corporations to make their employees get the vaccine or get tested every week. So, you know, they got some pushback. So it's being held up in the courts. I think it's in like some, you know, some circuit courts or federal circuit courts or whatnot. So we'll see how they play out. But I don't see it. It was supposed to take effect January 5th, I believe. But that's being pushed back. So we'll see how it plays out, you know, in the courts.
And I see where your governor here, Parson, governor of Missouri, was making reference to providing unemployment for those that's been furloughed off their job because they weren't getting vaccinated. And let's see how that works out.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm definitely with that. You know, I'm on the side of, you know, if you want to get the vaccine, go ahead and get it. And if you don't want to get it, you shouldn't be forced to take it, you know, especially considering that the vaccine don't stop you from getting COVID. You know what I'm saying?
No,
it
doesn't.
Stop you from getting COVID. So, you know, I think
and look at some
be
of the schemes. Look at the schemes that you see coming up. Where now they want to have OSHA. That wasn't what OSHA was designed. Occupation Safety and Health Administration Act. It wasn't designed
right,
to make
right.
people go get vaccinated. They just
exactly.
getting completely out of control.
Yeah.
Exactly. Overstepping their boundaries. You know, as a government, as a entity, they definitely overstepping their boundaries. And yeah, like you say, OSHA was getting involved with the mandate, which is unheard of. When has OSHA ever made you, you know, federally take a shot? But, you know, so nah.
My
no,
experiences
sir.
With OSHA, when they first came along, and they didn't know what they was doing, because what they started doing, actually industry was doing a pretty good job itself. Pacific Industries, you know, like in construction, you had iron workers, pipe fitters, carpenters. They had a pretty good program themselves on teaching their apprentices and also having a safety person for the company that would go around and make sure things were being handled and kept in an orderly fashion. Your insurance company, especially your work comp insurance company, will require companies to come up with a safety program. And within that safety program, it had a lesson plans that once or twice a week, you had what they call toolbox talks. And they would talk and go over the issues and the safety points that they would expect the employees to follow. And that was working pretty good. But here comes OSHA. In many areas, they didn't know what they was looking at. And some of the things that they came up with was ridiculous. So I think some industries, what they've done, they took it upon themselves to introduce to OSHA. Say, look, this is how we've been doing it in case of the iron workers since 1896 or even earlier. And let's see what we can make of this. And that was a proper way to do it.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. All right.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just joining us, family, this is Collective Minds Radio. This is Open Discussion. We have Queen Rigel with us and our brother Pianki filling in for Mufasa Ra. And I am Cosmic Kev. And we are here, family. Make sure y'all hit us up, 929-477-1697. Now, also this week, I think we touched on this last week. The one fella up in Wisconsin, Kyle Rittenhouse, took the stand this week. For those that don't know, he has, you know, there's a murder trial going on. I think he's being convicted of first-degree reckless homicide. During the Blake protest in Wisconsin, Cal Rittenhouse took it up on himself. Well, they were protesting against police brutality in Kenosha, Wisconsin last year, and Rittenhouse, in my opinion, went out looking for trouble, and he ended up killing two people at a quote-unquote Black Lives Matter protest. Now, the two people that he killed, Kyle Rittenhouse is a white dude. The two people he killed were white, but they were at a, you know, Black Lives Matters protest for the Blake guy that was killed by the police in Wisconsin. So his trial been going on. He took the stand this week, and it was really – it was sad because he was faking so hard. He got up there and got the tear, some fake tears going. He got the bawling and sobbing and, you know, doing all this acting, in my opinion, because not one tear, his eyes was dry as a bone, but he up there acting like he's crying and thinking somebody's buying it. But the young man was a minor. He had a legal weapon. He crossed state lines and shot two people. Now, he claims this was in self-defense, but one of the gentlemen, I believe, got bullet shots in the back. You know, so I'm looking at it like, and I said this last week, Kyle Rittenhouse is a suspected white supremacist because he hangs with the Proud Boys and these other groups. He has pictures throwing up the OK symbol, which is, you know, a white supremacist symbol that they want to play it off as a joke and, oh, it's just the OK symbol, but they use this as code towards each other to communicate. So he's all on camera throwing up the symbols with the Proud Boys, with these other militia groups. And when he got convicted, one of these groups started and a whatchamacallit, GoFundMe page for him, and he raised hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, for his attorney and lawyer fees. So they're all on code working together. I think, in my opinion, again, Kyle Rittenhouse, he went out there to shoot some black people. It just so happened that, you know, these two white men approached him about the gun, and he shot them. But I really think he wanted to go out there and shoot some black people. Nevertheless, the trial was started.
Is that true that his mom
dropped his mom dropped him off? I'm not sure about that. But just one more thing, and then I'm going to let y'all go. Because I think this trial does have a lot to do with how the court system treats, you know, a white suspect versus a black suspect. Now, just imagine if Kyle Rittenhouse was a black 17-year-old that crossed state lines illegally carrying an AR-15 and shot three white protesters, killing two. Right? Now, how would that look? What would happen to that black 17-year-old boy? So please, you know, so we just got to keep it real. It looks like Kyle Rittenhouse is being protected by the judge. You know, there's a lot of phony business going on, and I think there's a good chance that he's going to get off based on the judge that's proceeding, whichever one. The judge that's over this particular trial, he's going to get off. But that just shows you the disparity in the American, quote-unquote, air quotes, justice system. You know, we know it's racist, we know it's biased, but this is going to be a perfect example of how racist and biased it is. And I can leave it right there. I can let P go in. I know he probably wanted to defend the murderer, but I'm going to let him speak. I ain't going to speak for him.
Well, Kyle Rittenhouse is a hero. He's an example for American citizens, unalienable right, human beings, unalienable right to use self-defense. And that's exactly what he done. You had one of the men.
He broke the law.
He didn't break the law. The same thing that he might have broke the law with was carrying a gun at 17. Other than that, he didn't break any law. And see, here's the point. In all those cases that you mentioned, people were breaking the law. Rosenblum was a felon, just got out of prison, was locked up for sexually abusing young boys as young as 9 years of age. And then they published an article, I don't know if it was on Twitter or what, and made the point that if I catch you alone, I'm going to kill you. And that there is a serious threat, just like you got George Floyd's cousin on video threatening the jurors. He should be in jail. Talking about, yeah, we got people in the courtroom taking pictures. Because, you know, when you in a courtroom, you don't put the camera on the jurors. But he's saying that they got people in the courtroom taking your picture. That's a threat. He needs to be locked up. And also,
bro,
the one guy.
Someone was in there taking pictures?
That's what he said. He's on video saying that. George Floyd's cousin. And then one of the guys that got shot testified in court that he pulled his gun on Kyle first. And he wasn't supposed to have a gun. He's a felon. He pulled his gun on Kyle first. Then Kyle pulled his gun on him. Now, he should have shot him, but he let him lower his gun, and Kyle lowered his gun. You see another video where Kyle, when they started chasing him, and the one guy started calling him the N-word. That's a hate crime. The one guy that testified, that's a hate crime. And you can see where Kyle fell, face first. And as he was laying there, you had a black man come up and try to stump him. He rolls over, and I think they say he fired two shots at this guy. The black man didn't get hit. He turned around and started running away. Well, Kyle could have shot him in the back if he was there recklessly to shoot people. But he didn't, because the man was no longer a threat. And about that time, the guy with the skateboard that was behind the black man came up behind Kyle and smacked him with the edge of the skateboard. And he got shot. He should have, because he tried to kill him. And you know, you can tell what happened, because later on when he was at the police station getting ready to do a deposition, he started vomiting and had shudders. Now, when I assistant coach up in Matthew Dickey, I had to go take some courses to explain to me and teach me how to observe young athletes when they have head injuries and to make sure that it's treated very seriously. So if he was vomiting and shuddering, he had a concussion. When he shot the first guy over there by the station, he called the police and told them, "I shot somebody." Then he went looking for the police, because the police wouldn't come, just like the fire department, because they was elsewhere in the city dealing with all the other barbaric activities that was going on. Talking about Blake. Blake showed up at a party that the mother of the child got a court order restraining him from being anywhere around there. But he broke the court order. Disobedience, would not comply. The hell with the court order, I would imagine, he said. Then when the mother sees this and here he comes, they call the police. And when the police come, they want to question him. And he wouldn't cooperate, basically slings them off, and he's going to get back in his truck, where he admittedly said he had a knife. And when he's walking to the truck with the police behind him, you can see the ninja-type knife in his belt buckle. He goes to the truck, opens the door. The policeman, when he was at the hood in front of the truck, he tried to stop him from going to the truck, because you don't know what somebody's going to the truck to get. They already don't show their defiance for law and order for being there against a court order. Then you further showing your defiance for law and order because you won't stop to be questioned and searched. So when he goes and takes that knife out, standing sideways, the police officer behind him seen it, and he shot him, because at that point he's a threat. You don't know what he's going to do. If he didn't follow the polite and lawful orders to be detained, but chose to go on to his truck, well, you don't know what's in his mind at that time. And now we're talking about the preservation of life, yours against mine. Nobody wants to talk about those things. You had CBS with their fake ratchet self writing an article, headline, Kyle Rittenhouse is a murderer, even before the trial is completed. You know what that means?
Well, he did murder two people.
He wasn't convicted of, it was self-defense. He killed two people.
Right.
And writing that, they're going to be sued just like the other young men that were supposed to have been doing harm to the Native American, I think the Sandbox group, they received, I think they got over $100 million off of that article that the newspaper wrote on them. Well, it just goes to show you, man, the injustice. What's going on with this young man is nothing slight of racism. Because if he was black, like people say, well, if he was black, he would have got shot. Yeah, you're right. If he was black, you would have been hollering racism. Exactly what happened.
Well, actually, yeah. I mean, I like to add something to this, too. Because, I mean, if everybody want to survive, you know, so even if I'm breaking in somebody's house and I have a gun and they pull a gun on me, I'm going to shoot them. So it's not really so much about whether or not he should have shot them or whatever, all that. That's not the point. I think the point is what people are making is that now that they're in court, he's going to be still treated differently, like always. If you black and white, they treat you differently in the court. I think those are the discussion that people are talking about, mainly because, I mean, yeah, okay, if they was chasing him, okay, yeah, he shot him. If somebody's pulling a gun on me, I'll shoot him too. I mean, most people will because you're trying to survive. But the issue, the bigger issue is that now that they're in court, how is he going to be treated after shooting these people and versus if he was a black man? Because they seem to be, you know, taking up for him, and I think they are ignoring a lot of issues. Personally, as a parent, I wouldn't condone my 17-year-old to own a gun, and I would not encourage them to go out rallying with a whole group of people talking about he getting ready to go and protect the business that's not even his.
Out of the state. Exactly.
Well, if you don't sit your butt in this house and sit your butt down, as a parent, that's what I would not condone my child to put himself in harm's way. It's one thing if you're out taking care of business and something happened, but it's a whole nother ball game when you go out into an environment that's already hostile. It's like, are you putting yourself at risk? What if he would have got shot? What if he just so happened to shoot them? What if they would have shot him? Then what his mother would have been saying? Ah, they shot my son. She would have had something to say. You know, she would have had another type of defense to bring up. You know, but he actually just really shouldn't have been out there, like a lot of them. Nobody really should have been out there anyway. But, you know, I just think at his age, with a gun and all that, you know, he put himself at more risk. It was just unnecessary.
You know how he got the gun? He didn't buy the gun. He went there to help wash off graffitis from one of the car lots buildings and board it up.
Really?
Kyle,
well, that's what they're saying anyway.
No, well, that's what he was doing. Kyle works in that city as a lifeguard and doing some other things. He was trained by the Red Cross to give first aid and act as a first responder. Red Cross out there on Lindbergh in St. Louis have those very same courses. The guy that owns the place, he bought Kyle that rifle because they was doing rifle practice at the target
range. No, I don't know
if
that's accurate. No. It was another
guy.
I don't know. There was another guy who took the stand this week also, a younger guy, but older than 18, who said he bought the gun for Kyle Rittenhouse, and he's actually being charged with supplying him with the gun.
Well, he didn't. He kept the gun. They didn't give it to him. And Biden gave it to him. And as long as the paperwork is right, it's nothing wrong with it.
Right, he gave it to him for that night, which he used that weapon to commit the murder. You know, so that's a problem. Because at the end of the day, Kyle Rittenhouse was acting like a vigilante.
No,
he
wasn't.
He felt like it was his duty. Yeah,
no,
he was
no,
being
no,
a vigilante.
No. When he was running down the street, he was going to the police because he felt like he would be safe around the police. The first individuals that he shot tried to ambush him there on the lot by the dumpster. they grabbed the barrel of the gun. So if they had grabbed the gun and took it from him, what would they have done with it? Well, in combat, they tell you, if you give up your gun to your enemy, they're going to use it on you.
And there's video and audio of Kyle Rittenhouse pointing his gun at protesters sitting in their car. There's people in film or video of that night. There's a lot of footage out where Kyle Rittenhouse was basically antagonizing some protesters who were sitting in their car and pointing his gun at them. Right?
Yeah,
and
well,
there's another
I don't
video.
Know.
There's a video of him riding and saying he wished he had his AR for some protesters. You know, so this man had, I mean, this kid, a man, whatever, actually, he's a man.
Kyle wasn't no place. The only time Kyle got back on the street when he went to meet the police. And when he met them, they gave him a bottle of water.
Right, because look, after he did, and
he called the police.
Again, that disparity. The police was already there. There were police already there on the scene. He walked right past the police. If you look
he walked
at the
right by
the
police because they were going to deal with some other issues. It wasn't nothing that the young man done.
What's more important than somebody being shot, though? What's a bigger issue than somebody
he
being shot?
He called and told them that he shot somebody.
Right, but the police on the scene didn't do anything to him, which is what I'm trying to
explain. We don't know that. We don't know what the dispatcher, maybe just the dispatcher
didn't
call that particular one.
Right, but they
didn't. Did the dispatcher call them?
I'm not sure, but even if you're on the scene, the dispatcher should need to call them. If you're police on the scene and someone's been shot, you should already be alert. You should have heard the gun. They were within earshot.
And
of
wasn't
the,
he not giving some first aid to the person that he shot? He had a first aid kit there with him that was issued by the Red Cross.
No, I don't think so. I didn't.
Well, it's
going to
be in the hands of the jury, and I think that the jury is going to be fair and going to be a fair trial. If it don't go the right way, they appeal and go to another court. That's what happened.
Right. Right, so before we move on, just to give, you know, the family some information, it looks like Cal Rittenhouse was charged with 7 counts, right? The first count is he's being charged with first-degree reckless homicide, use of a dangerous weapon. Second count is first-degree reckless endangering safety, use of a dangerous weapon. The third count is first-degree reckless endangering safety, use of a dangerous weapon. Those are for the two. That's the same charge, but those are for the two different murders. The fourth count is first degree intentional homicide, use of a dangerous weapon. The fifth count is attempted first degree intentional homicide, use of a dangerous weapon. And the sixth count is possession of a dangerous weapon by a person under the age of 18. And the seventh and final count is failure to comply with an emergency order from state or local governments. So this kid is facing 7 counts. You know, we'll see how many of those counts stick, what the jury come up with, whether it's a, you know, mistrial or what have you. But I think the fix
in none of those
myself.
Cases, none of those charges legitimate. See, no pandemic or no emergency orders can trump the United States Constitution when it's come down to the Second Amendment and your unalienable right, your right that was given to you by your God, as it is in nature, to defend yourself. That's up to you to defend yourself and that of your property and your loved ones. There's many cases about that. You had one in New York where a black man was on his porch and some Hispanics or whites was coming up into the yard to mess with him, and he shot one of them. He had a right to use the Castle Doctrine to defend himself.
There's a difference.
So anyway, that's
it. The difference is, you don't go out and instigate and start something, then
he didn't instigate
yourself.
With
he, somebody. He
well,
did.
Well, let
he
me ask you a question,
Kevin.
Why did Rosenboom, a felon, and he know he's a felon, what are you doing with a gun? pointing at that cow?
Hey, I can't answer. Right, I can't answer for that guy what was going on, but you don't
why
know.
Did
I
the, why did the one guy try to
myself.
Hit? Why did the one guy hit Kyle in the back of the head? Then Kyle turned around and shot him. What were you supposed to do? Ask, oh, so you had a, what, you make a mistake? Why did the black man, a grown man, this is a grown man, look at it, must have been about 7'4" or something, a 26 size shoe, trying to stump the young boy while he's laying on the sidewalk? He
that's
wasn't no harm.
Boy, that's why his little boy shouldn't have been there.
Right, he shouldn't even been out there. All of that could have been
avoided. Why come you don't
have been out there?
He was going
because,
to find the police.
One, you cannot use deadly force to protect property. Is that true or false?
You can use deadly force to protect your property. If somebody come in your house, you're going to kill them.
Right, your property, but none of that was his property. This is the thing.
So
none
you mean to tell me if I
property.
Seen... If I seen Roger and I see some men go in her house, you mean this in law in Missouri allowed this to happen? I can't go over there with my pistol to defend her? And if I have to shoot someone? Look how George Floyd went in that white woman's house. Her, him and either four other black males and held her at gunpoint, put a rifle barrel up to her pregnant stomach and shoved her down on the couch while they ransacked the house. They come out, steal her vehicle, and crashes it nearby and get locked up. So if I had seen that, or the neighbor across the street had seen that, you mean to tell me they can't go and help their neighbor?
No, you can go help your neighbor. No, I think you can go help your neighbor. But again, those were not his neighbors. We keep moving
they
the goalposts. Those were not his neighbors.
They don't. What's the, well, so? Roger's not my neighbor.
Right, but if she was, that would be okay, but you don't.
Even if I'm driving down the street and I see her needing help, even when you have a police officer, I think you had one YouTube where a black man, two black men involved in this. One black man was fighting the police, trying to wrestle his gun from it. Another black man came up and assisted the police. So he wouldn't come up to assist that white police officer?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that one, but
yeah, okay. But
yeah,
anyway, what else to talk about?
Yeah. What else? All right. So, let me see here. If you're just joining us, family, this is Collective Minds Radio. We are here. I'm Brother Kev, aka Cosmic Kev. We got our brother Pianki filling in for Mufasa Ra, and we have the lovely Queen Raja with us as well. Hit us up. The number is 929-477-1697. Raja, did you want to put something out there, or did you want to go to the call lines?
We can go to the call. We can go to the call line. Area code 319.
Okay.
209, call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment? Area code 319-209, call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment? Okay, let me find your question. Area code 319-572, caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or do you have a comment?
Hey, you guys missed out on the Auberry trial. Y'all so
funny. Oh, yeah.
Yes,
indeed. What's going on with that? Yes, sir.
Well, I was sitting there watching some of the tests. The police officer testify. They played his body cam, and I guess no one caught it, but I caught it. When he was describing the black male to the people that are being charged with killing him, they referred to him as a black boy with tattoos. But when they got to court, they changed it to black male. So there's your racism right there in that case right there. they refer to a grown man with tattoos, and they refer to him as a boy. Then when they get to court, they, right. then they change it to male. So
wow.
I don't know if y'all caught that or not. So that trial is really racist. There's nothing racist about a white man shooting another white man. There's nothing racist about that.
I would have to be different about that.
The real race trial.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there that sheriff of them on body cam said black boy instead of a black male. So
right.
they refer to a grown man as a boy, and then when in court they change it to a black male. But
well, you know why that is.
Oh yeah, yeah. But,
well, this down
footage,
south,
but the footage showed the racism when they said black boy. And,
well,
and you did not, and the and we, they never called on the white people that showed up walking through there, and he did not call on that vehicle that pulled up in there. But he called on every black person that walked up in there, but not the white people. So, and they chased him down and cornered him and killed him. When all they were supposed to do was be a witness, saying yes, it was him. Yes, we can identify him. He can now be trespassed. Instead, they chased him down and shot him. Instead,
I thought they were struggling over the rifle.
It doesn't. Well, they were doing more than they were supposed to do. All they were supposed to do.
Yeah, but what were they struggling over?
They were not told to chase him down, try to stop him, try to make a citizen's arrest. They were not told to do any of that. They just said, if you see him, call him.
What does the state of Georgia?
They drive around all around, trying to identify the guy. So, but no one cared when the white people went up there and actually did steal this stuff. So, but they went beyond what they were supposed to do. They were not supposed to chase them down. They were not supposed to try to do a citizen's arrest. All they were supposed to do was say, hey, here, we follow him, but don't chase him down. But
yeah.
They chased him down. They threw the gun on him. So he had every
right
to wrestle that gun away.
To defend himself, yeah.
To defend himself. So he got
now,
shot.
See, this is what
we're
talking about.
So,
I think they took a gun because they didn't know whether he was armed, from what I heard, from what I read, right? And we're going to tell this. Why don't we tell all the pieces in part? Calling somebody a boy is not racist.
When you
I hear white males call males boy all the time. That's not racist.
You guys are referring to a black man as boy, and there's nothing but white
it
boy.
It doesn't. No, no. Well, no, it's
you
not. Know, I don't see what it's racist.
You know, you'd be all up in your feelings if I said, "Hey, boy, come here, boy."
No, I
would. Even though you're probably 50-some years old, I still call you boy.
I worked in an industry where people called each other boys, and don't let me tell you what they call the Polish people.
Whole lot.
You know how many Polish men it take to put a light bulb in?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
you're the engineer.
I ain't going to. It takes about four. One to hold a light bulb. The other three go out there and turn the house around.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the other ones turned the ladder around. That's the way it was supposed to go. The other ones turned the ladder.
Well, you know, you just have to see what happens.
Him and you guys are missing the real trial we need to be worried about.
Yeah, you have to see
right,
what's
right.
happening. But to say that whites can't have racist things done to them is just not true. Racism has nothing to do with the act, I mean, with the color of the skin. It's the act that's being portrayed.
Well,
it has to be.
If we want to go ahead and go with Kyle Rittenhouse, there were several other people he could have shot if he was there to kill people. He could have had like four or five bodies that night if he was there to actually kill somebody. And
yeah, but you listen to the
report. He had like three or four bodies he could have had. So
you listen to that large compilation of news media people making remarks. They did say that. They said he was evil. They said he went there to kill people. All those things that they're saying is racist.
No, I was actually watching the Arbery trial. I was actually watching. I wasn't getting it from those side sources. I was actually watching and listening.
Yeah. And look at old Joe Biden called Kyle a white supremacist. Is that not racist?
Kyle Rittenhouse lost me when he started that fake crime.
You don't know if there was.
That was fake. His eyes were
crying.
Everybody don't
do
shed
it.
Tears. Maybe he got a condition
remorse.
With his eyes. I don't know.
But right.
Well, let me ask y'all something. Who was it that wrote the word nigger on LeBron James' property?
I don't know. Did they catch the person?
Black man. I don't know. Black guys do get black and blame it on the white.
Who was it?
Look at Juicy. He did it. Look at Juicy. He did it.
Hey, what about over there in Alton, Illinois? Who set that black church on fire? Was it white men or black men?
I'm not even sure.
It was a black man
that
set it on fire.
I know. Here where I'm at, there was a few church fires. One dude served 75 years for burning down the church, and the other guy kind of got away with it because it was a black guy on a black church.
There you go. That's privilege.
All he was doing was trying to cover his tracks of the robbery. Not a white boy. He went in and he burnt that shit down for hate, for real. I knew him. So.
Yes, indeed, caller. Appreciate it.
Thanks, caller.
Appreciate it. Right on. Yeah, with the Ahmaud Arbery case is going on, too, as well. For the people that forgot, Ahmaud Arbery is a brother from down in Georgia, the Atlanta area, Brunswick, Georgia, actually. And the people say, you know, the official story is he was taking a jog to... people saw him in pickup trucks. Then they chased him down and confronted him with the shotgun. Altercation ensued, and then they ended up shooting him. His family say he was jogging around the neighborhood. He was on the jog. The defense is saying that, you know, he had been broken into some properties, and I think it was some construction sites going on or whatnot, and they got surveillance of him going into these sites, as a lot of people was, from what I hear, was going to these sites. A lot of people in the neighborhood or community would visit these construction sites or whatnot. But they ended up shooting a brother. That happened in
Said it was an altercation. I think the altercation was the struggle over the rifle.
Right. So now let me ask you this, because since everybody has a right to defend themselves, didn't Ahmaud Arbery have a right to defend himself if somebody – telling him to stop with a shotgun and, you know,
I think what the man was wanting to hold him there till the police came to question him, which the police did finally come, but it was after.
But no,
you know,
no, the question is about self-defense. Doesn't he have a right if he feels his life is in danger and he's jogging and somebody pulls a shotgun on him? Doesn't he have a right to defend himself?
Well, I don't think they intended on shooting, because if they were, they would have shot it before they got up close to it, right? They wouldn't have got to the close to it where he could try to rustle the gun from him.
Right, you're saying that in hindsight, right? But if someone pulls a shotgun on you and start barking orders, don't you have a right to defend yourself?
No, I'm going to see what they're going to do. If they tell me to put my hands up, I'm putting my hands up. I ain't going to run after the gun. Now, that's me.
Well, this is me. If I feel like, go ahead, Roger.
Well, I mean, let me ask you this question, because that's not like that's just strange. But you wouldn't figure out a way to try to leave the situation if some strange people just walked up to you and pulled their gun out and just like freeze, stay here. I mean, you're gonna be okay with
robbing
you anything?
If they said stay here, the police has come. They want to talk to you. I'm gonna stay there. Now that's me. Some people might take off and try to fly, but person got a shotgun. I ain't gonna be running from them. Not under them circumstances.
Interesting. Well, I mean, if a person has a shotgun on me and they telling me to freeze or whatever, and if I'm close to them where I feel like I can wrestle the gun away, I'm going to take my chance.
All right, now once you got the gun,
my life is in danger.
Okay, now let me ask you a question.
All
right, you said that. Let me ask you a question. Now, you take the gun from them. Now, don't they have a right to defend themselves and take the gun back from you?
No, see, now we're playing, because we'll be playing this game all day.
Right,
then
that's what I'm saying.
Initiated.
Then when
no,
they take it from it back from you, then you take it back from them, then they take it, but y'all be there yesterday doing that.
Right, but listen, this is how self-defense works. They're the aggressor. They're the ones with the weapon. It doesn't go the other way around. They came at an unarmed person with the weapon. They were the aggressor.
And he tried
so
to take the gun from them.
Has a right to defend them. The person, the victim, has a right to defend themselves against an assault.
Yeah, all right. The victim has a right. So the victim becomes the man that they took the gun from. Now he has a right to defend himself and take the gun back.
No, because no. You know that's not right, because the person – he initiated the contact. He initiated the confrontation.
It don't make no difference, man. The thing is, that you feel you got a right.
No,
you feel you got
a
right to take a gun. Kevin, I'm gonna walk up to you and I got a gun. You gonna try to take the gun from me? Now you get the gun. Now I'm thinking you gonna shoot me, so I'm gonna try to take the gun back from you.
At that point, you gotta just fight. At that point, you guys are just fighting. I mean, but the person who initiated it is
You cannot walk into a bar and start a fight with somebody and they start beating you and you shoot them. That's not self-defense. All right,
let me ask you another question. That's going to show you what you ain't thinking. You ain't thinking, Kim. So here's Arby. He done took the gun from the white man, and here comes the white police officer. What they going to do to Arbor, and he's got a gun, holding
shoot
on two, three white men?
Shoot him.
Well, I mean, we know how that goes. Yeah, more than likely.
Well, then why come you keep pushing it in that direction? If the people say, I want the police to just come here and talk to you, which probably is what they did, because when he got out the truck, he could have shot him right there. He was about 20 feet from him. He could have shot him. Apparently, they didn't want to do it. They wanted to hold it for the police.
Right, but why would he shoot him? And he's not doing nothing. He's not even for sure if this is the suspect or whatever.
That's why they said they wanted the police to. That's why they said they wanted the police to come talk to him.
No, but what I'm telling you is.
Well, you keep saying no. That's what they said.
As the victim. Arby doesn't know what they're doing.
Arby what they was doing.
But it doesn't matter when someone has a gun on you. You don't know what they, like, you may not even be listening. All you see is the gun. All right,
and let's go through this one more time. Let's go through this one more time. Arby wrestle with them and take the gun from them and holding the gun on them. Now, here comes the police. What you think the police going to do? What happened when the police came? Well, wait a minute. What happened with that one instance when the girl was trying to stab the other girl and the police drove up on the scene? Shot right away, right?
Right, but see, now we get into hypotheticals and other situations.
It ain't no
so
hypothetical.
That.
That's what
Let
happened,
them,
Kevin.
No, because, No, he shot. No.
Did not the girl
get
shot and get killed?
Right, but the point I'm making with this case is Ahmaud Arbery is dead, so whether he wrestled the gun away or not, they still shot him and were the aggressors in the whole situation.
If the man had his finger on the trigger and Arbery jerked the gun, what does that do with the position of the trigger and the finger? It pulls the trigger against the finger, and quite natural, boom, the gun goes off.
Right, but at the end of the day, he still had a right to defend himself from these, again, vigilantes.
That's he chose. He chose to do that. He's dead.
Different from Chad defending himself, like you say. How is it different?
Put
from
a gun in your hand. Put your finger on the trigger.
Himself.
Grab the barrel and snatch it real fast, and see don't your finger pull the trigger.
No, that's probably. I'm not arguing that point.
Well,
I'm
keep saying
what's
no
the
for
between,
man. Then you say I ain't arguing that. Then you say something else. Go on to the next question.
Yeah, why would Kyle Rittenhouse shoot somebody if he got hit with a skateboard? Why wouldn't he just take the skateboard and hit him over the side of the head?
Why are you going to take the skateboard? You got look, the man with the skateboard, although a skateboard wasn't designed to be a weapon, it was used as a weapon. When the man hit
exactly.
him, why come he didn't hit him with – wait a minute. Why come he didn't hit him with the flat part of the skateboard rather than the edge where it do more damage?
Right, and a shotgun is designed to be a weapon, and you're pointing that at someone. They have a right to.
You don't know if
he
had. He may have had it. You may have had it down. You don't know if he had it pointed to him. They didn't know whether he had a gun.
I mean, it's all on video, though. We that's
Karen
Casile
is perfectly fine in Georgia, right? You don't know that in St. Louis. You don't even have to have a license to carry concealed. So if somebody's in a criminal attitude with me and I walk, I need to, you know, have some type of cordial conversation, I'm going to have my pistol ready because they may be armed.
Right. Exactly. So you have to
know,
think. That's all I'm saying.
Hmm.
Well, I was going to ask before we get to another caller, how do we know that they told Arbery that we want you to stop here and wait here until the police come because they want to talk to you? How do we know they did that?
Well, they called the police.
Right, but how do we know what they said to him because he's dead?
Well,
he was there.
You're going to have to listen to the recording with the dispatcher.
The dispatcher. Okay, but the dispatcher.
Yeah, that's all
dead,
I can tell you. I can only tell you what I heard and read, and that's the scenario. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
Right,
I don't think.
Right,
but
right.
if I was over your house, Roger, you pulled a shotgun and told me to stop right there. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm stopping.
You better.
Knowing you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You better. Okay, we get to another caller. You ready, Brother Cass?
Yeah, let's go. Let's get it.
Okay. Area code 917-373. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Hey, how are y'all? Sounds like a good show.
Peace,
by the way. Sometimes
hello, sir. How are you today?
I'm good. Sometimes I get trolls because different shows give the last four numbers and some give all the others. So some of the racist trolls have been calling me. They put it together. But on to the main point I wanted to make, that Bianchi is a very intelligent man, and I have high respect for him, but often he and Sarge use their brain power to defend the white supremacist system instead of using their linguistics and their experience to help the black, brown people who actually need them. And I'm listening to Bianchi defend and twist words. Self-defense is not what he is describing. He knows the law. He knows the U.S. Constitution. And it's so disheartening. He's older than me, but he won't use his brain to help our people. If a gun is pulled on someone, Bianchi also ignores the U.S. Constitution and our right to protect ourselves. He also ignores that different people, their physiology and their psychology is triggering a fight or flight. So if a gun is pulled on some people, they're going to respond in a different way from Bianchi or from me. So we can't defend white supremacists by saying, oh, well, if a cop pulls a gun on me, I'm going to just stay there. That ignores the fact that black people are very, in many cases, afraid when a white man pulls it out, and many of us are going to react. So, Bianchi, please use your brain power more to help us black people and stop defending the Klan. Appreciate
it. Well, you know, first place, I don't even know no Klan member. And the only time I've ever had, hang on for a minute, wait a minute, you asked me a question. Let me respond to it. We're not going to argue. Now, if you want to argue, I'll let you go ahead and talk and I'll be quiet.
Okay, you can be quiet.
I'm going to tell you my experience.
Because an argument isn't negative. An argument is
let
simply
me tell
a discussion
you,
back and
okay,
forth.
Okay, well, then let me tell you my experience,
go
which
on,
did
bro.
Happen. The only time I ever had any guns pointed at me and shot at me was by blacks. Last time was there on Martin Luther King and Hamilton Avenue. And a young man, a man, I don't know if he was old or young, he was crossing the street. A young lady was behind him trying to stop him. I guess they was arguing. He got to the yellow light, the yellow line, right there as I was approaching, going west on Martin Luther King at Hamilton. And as I went by, I said, man, you know, you need to get out of the street for somebody to run over you. By the time I got to right there where Joe's Records used to be, he shot, and his bullet went through my back window and lodged in the dash. Now, the funny thing, it was during hunting season, and I had a shotgun with a 20-gauge rifle slug in it. What I could have done was stop, got that shotgun out, and blew his head off from the distance that we were, because he had a pistol. But no, I chose to go down to hold him up and Martin Luther King right there on that corner and call the police. And the police come asking me, what you doing in the neighborhood? So that's the kind of things that I've experienced the last time. Ain't never white shoot at me. So you call it talking about I'm defending the Klan. Well, who's defending him?
Well, you just defended white people again because instead of answering my question and sticking to the point, you gave us a movie script about an experience you had with a black
man. It wasn't
man
a movie
says,
script.
On,
it was
on,
an
Bianchi.
Actual experience.
No, I know, but I'm just saying all I heard was violins while you were talking because you were trying to make it sound as though the point I raised wouldn't be answered. You would distract us and find a black person to blame. It's almost like you're a lawyer for racists that hate black people. And when you call shows, there isn't a show that you call, Bianchi, where you aren't defending the white supremacy.
What are you
system.
Doing, trolling
every
me?
Show. No,
you
I call
me?
Shows and every
you know, I've
show.
Shot
at
white. I've shot, let you know, I've pulled guns on whites before.
But that isn't my point. Of course you would if a person's trying to
I
hurt
pulled
you.
A gun
see,
on a white man that was down on Blair Avenue
moving
in Salisbury.
Well, that is
and my truck
the
was there, and he raised the hood on my truck, was taking my battery. I was going to shoot him, but I didn't shoot him over that. But I held him to
the
police game.
It's called moving the goalpost.
No, it's not moving the goalpost.
It is.
It's talking about experience. Now, you can call it that. I don't label it as being that.
Of course you don't, Bianchi, because your typical subconscious is to defend American racists, not to defend black people. And that is every show you call. And no, I'm
so
not
So you say blacks
you
can't be racist?
On this no. See, there you go again. You see, folks, what
you
does?
Say blacks can't
if
be racist?
If you say anything against the racist system, he will find an argument that is invalid but presented.
No, it is. But you're saying, you said I'm defending the racist
yes.
white people.
Yes.
Well, let me tell you something. I've had some racist black people do the same thing
again,
that whites
that's
done.
That's not my point. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
your game only works.
Let me tell you something.
Listening to
M
you
Hotel,
and believe
let me
you.
Tell you something. Get to your point,
you
or we're gonna hang up on you.
You selling us out.
Get to your point.
So
we're gonna have to get out.
Out.
We're gonna have to hang up on you and get to the next
yeah,
caller.
It's okay if you hang up, but I'm just saying.
All right. Thank
you.
Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call.
Yes, sir. Tyler, we don't let
to
you
our
finish.
People.
Finish your point, Tyler.
I'm sorry, brother. You mean yes. Bianchi or me? I'm sorry.
No, you. I was going to let you finish your point, and then we'll get to the next caller. We appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just think that with Bianchi, he said I could finish, if you don't mind.
Hold on, Pete. Let him go.
During these times when black people, not brown, what we call black people, I'm not talking Indian and the folks that have all the math jobs. I'm talking about folks in the hood that are going through struggles, right? We need more people to use their brain power to identify ways to help us, not to use their brain power to consistently identify ways to help the already established white supremacist system and people like Bianchi, who is an elder, who has businesses, should be using some of his linguistics and his finances, not some, the majority, I shouldn't say finances because that's not fair, but at least his brain power, to defend us. And instead, you will watch the pattern. Every show he calls, he's basically the black on the plantation that will eloquently defend the master. Thank you all for your time, and let's save ourselves,
yes,
and people like Bianchi won't help us, so they're a waste of time.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate you, caller. Yes, indeed. Pete, yeah, it do kind of seem like you do defend, you know, and we've all had our
I don't defend. I put the issues out there. I put the issues out there so that they can be looked at.
But then you say Kyle Rittenhouse has a right to defend himself, but Ahmaud Arbery didn't have a right to defend himself.
I didn't say Arbery didn't have. I don't know very much about Arbery's case, but what I heard is what I just got through explaining to you.
Right. So you just make excuses, and it was okay for them to, you know.
No,
what
you
about,
made an excuse
okay
too. I said if
to
I took it from you, you were trying to take it from me to go back and forth, right?
No, but I'm gonna leave that there. But you know, it does seem like you do defend that destruction. Then, like the caller says, if someone brings up something, you can bring up an example of a black person doing something racist or quote-unquote.
That's based on my experience with him, absolutely.
Right, but that's only to deflect from the overall system.
No, you're talking about your experiences. I'm talking about my experiences.
Right, that's fine. But what I'm saying is when people talk about the experiences of the system, you come with, you know, the one or two examples of your experiences.
I don't see a system like that. Kevin, when you look at the downtown skyline, you see the buildings that I've built, the schools that I've built in St. Louis, about 8, 11. So I see the system different than most people, right?
Yeah, you do.
I
that's true.
That. No problem. Yeah, that's
I
not
see
a
the
problem.
Different. I see what y'all calling a system different. I don't see that.
Right, but you got to be objective and look at things, not with the bias, but look at the information and what's presented.
That's
what
I'm telling you. I'm telling you, giving you my information, that's my experience.
Okay.
Vashon High School, Normandy Schools in Normandy, Pattonville, SIU Edwardsville. That building there across the street from the Galleria, the 22-story building. I see things different based on my experience, and we try to share it with you. When
that's
I was
right,
building
no,
Lucas and Hunt Crossing
no
there for the Normandy School District, I used to bring kids out on the job site, and we would go over in real life what we studied on the blackboard in the classroom. I didn't have to do that. I just done it.
No doubt. No, this is collective minds. Let me just say this. This is Collective Minds Radio, and we do, you know, respect everybody's opinion. We may not always agree, but just like Bianchi said, he has different experiences. My thing is when I go back and forth with Bianchi, you just have to make it make sense to me. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like I'm reasonable, and if things line up, I can be like, okay, that makes sense. But some of the things may not jive with what I see on the everyday, my personal experience, the way I view the world. It just may not line up, and I just maybe need to understand your mode of thinking if you can explain, or we could just agree to disagree. But, no, we respect your opinion. We need that. differences of opinion to help each other grow and learn. You know, but we need that. And we also need you as a black man to be on the side of black people. I tell, you know, I try to explain to Mufasa, too, because he kind of seemed like he'd be kind of aligning with your views and thoughts. But we need y'all to defend
Mustafa
us sometimes.
Starting
to
think.
Defend the system.
Mustafa is starting to think. People don't think.
Okay.
They don't
yes,
think.
Indeed.
Look at your charter school. You know who start? You know who the first one to take the issue to court in St. Louis?
Who that? Who that?
It was us. Myself, Dockett, Lee Goodman, attorney. We took that to the state and broke that open. You know why come the police officers have cameras on them? I testified for, you know, Jamila Nasheed, right?
Yes.
I testified in Jeff City before a committee, a legislative committee, on the need of body cameras. I didn't have to do that.
Okay.
I feel it was needed. Well, these people don't know what they're talking about.
I hear that. You know what I mean? I'm not sure the body cameras was the answer to the problem, per se. I think
she,
that's kind of
she
like
thought it was. She's a state legislature, wasn't she? Huh?
Right, that is true. But, yeah. That
well,
is
she
true.
Wanted to pass
you
it,
know.
And she needed somebody to come assist her, just like myself and Bertha Gilkey. You remember Bertha Gilkey, don't you?
Yes, and that was
it was
part, cause
we took several trips to Jeff City, and guess who was paying for the buses and that? It was the Freemans,
who's
white
that?
People. To take 50 people up there and feed them so that they could testify on the need of alternative education. We went up there to help Betty Thompson. You remember Betty Thompson in University City? Lost two sons to gun violence by black men. And she got a last son. It's Tommy, who owns Kwame Construction. That's her last son.
Mm-hmm.
He done the Metrolink.
Well.
He
right.
was the one, he was the construction manager on the Metrolink that comes out of Clayton and goes down through Forest Park on down to downtown.
Yes, indeed. No doubt. Now, we know your work over here, Pianki, so we had never discredit that. It's just, you know, this is collective mind, so... we like to have constructive dialogue, as I always say. So, you know, we know you didn't put in some work in.
You know, John Bardot? John Bardot ran for the presidency of the St. Louis chapter of the NAACP. And he tied with the one guy that was in there. Then they had a runoff election. The members of the Nation of Islam joined the NAACP and came out and voted for him, and he won. And from that point on, the state chapter and the national chapter did everything they could and finally did get him out of office. That ain't white folks doing that. That's black people.
Okay. Yes, sir. I'm with that.
And I could tell you some more. I tell you what, we can talk about this some other time.
Yeah, let's try to get one more call
Don't
in before
get another
we
get call
ready
in.
To wrap it up, y'all. Yes,
okay,
indeed. Let's try to get a call in before we wrap it up.
Okay, area code 315-767. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Okay. Yeah, I got some comment. Try to keep playing real quick here. I want to know if you've actually been watching the footage of the trial.
Which trial?
The first one. My brain just stopped working all of a sudden.
With Kyle Rittenhouse?
Rittenhouse. Have you been watching the trial, or are you just going off what the media is telling you that is happening?
I've been looking
trial?
At highlights myself. I watched the highlights of it.
Yeah, me also. I haven't sat and watched the entire trial. I watched different little clips and whatnot.
Okay.
So
you know
break
you
it
know
down
me.
If you watch.
So you knew, you know me, I sit in this truck all day driving down the highway, 8 hours in this driver's seat, 10 hours in this driver's seat, so I can just watch boring shit like that. And I would tell you that a lot of the things that you're saying are incorrect according to what I have seen coming straight from the witnesses and the defense, the police that testified. And, I mean, I just saw so much nonsense. I watched the judge yell at the prosecutor. I watched the judge tell the jury to not listen to certain things that the prosecutor said because the prosecutor said really, really ridiculous things. The gun charge that you're talking about, that is a nonsense. All those gun charges, those are pretty much the judge already said that he was in accordance with the law to possess that firearm. He was underage. Yes. It's pretty much that if the jury comes out and convicts him on the gun charges, the judge himself already said that he'll overrule those because he pulled up the statutes and they discussed the statutes on why it was okay for him to possess a firearm. He wasn't underage because there's two stipulations that make it to where it was legal for him to possess that firearm at the age of 17. If you're below the age of 16, 15 and below, you can't have a firearm unless you're in you can have a firearm 15 and under if you are out hunting with one of your parents. Then it's legal for you to have a firearm under the age of 15 or under the age of 16. 16 and 17, you can just have a firearm. You can't have a pistol, but you can have a long rifle. And a lot of the terminology that the media is using is terminology to try to scare people. Now, this trial here is very important to me. The outcome of this is very important to me because it is a clear defense case, self-defense shooting. If they rule this as something other than a self-defense shooting, then anybody who wants to defend themselves will now be subject to criminalities. You'll just be a criminal for defending yourself. I don't like that idea. Black or white, it doesn't matter. I don't care. I don't care about the racist part. I don't care about the racism. I care about what this trial is going to change in our system. If you cannot shoot people that are harming you, that are intentionally harming you, then what's the point of having a gun? And being a law-abiding citizen. You can be a criminal all day long because the criminals don't care if they go to jail. Criminals don't care. But if you care and you care about your family and you care about your community and you try to defend it, now you're going to go to jail. Because this case is setting that precedent.
Right. So let me ask you this.
And one more thing real quick. The pictures that show him pointing the rifle, those were AI-enhanced images. Those pictures were enlarged, and a computer had to fill in the pixels that didn't really exist. So that is not an image of what happened that night. That is an image that was created a week ago in a lab. That was a computer-rendered drawing of what it thought happened that night. So the stuff that was entered into the evidence at the very, very end, where he said that he antagonized the people, and so the people were chasing him down because he antagonized them, those weren't real pictures. Those were enhanced pictures that were blown up. And so when they got blown up, the computer had to figure out where all these extra pixels it had to put in to fill in the space. And it just did whatever it wanted to do. It created these pictures, these images, that were not actual images of the night in question. They're images of a computer-generated image in a lab a week ago.
Right, I watched the trial that day when they had the young man.
That's the only evidence that might sway the jury to say that everything that Kyle Rittenhouse did was wrong because he pointed the rifle at somebody. It didn't say who he was pointing it at because the picture doesn't show who he's pointing it at. Plus, that picture is only like 1 millisecond of an image inside of a 30-second clip
where the rifle just happened to be going around, and they stopped and chose that picture, that image, to show to the jury to say he pointed the rifle at somebody. They didn't say who. They didn't say when. They said, well, he was pointing the rifle at people. Plus, when they showed the image of the rifle, when I looked at the image, the rifle was in his left hand. But he's right-handed, and he shot with his right hand. So why is he pointing at somebody with the rifle in his left hand? Why did the computer put the rifle in his left hand? Because the computer didn't know what the fuck it was looking at and said, well, I got to create a picture. And it created a picture and put the rifle in his left hand.
Yeah, and they said
right.
Those
algorithms
aren't true pictures. And that's the only evidence that they can use to try to turn this and sway the jury against Rittenhouse. And if they do this, you defending your family is now a criminal act.
No, family, listen to what I'm telling you, family. What's going on is this is to in my opinion, this is to reestablish white supremacy. This has nothing to do with self-defense because white men throughout the history of America have always been able to defend themselves. It's when a black man has a gun, when a black man shoots somebody in self-defense, then it starts to get cloudy. Because imagine if a 17-year-old black boy from Illinois went to Wisconsin, shot three white people, killing two, how would this case look? Same situation,
that's,
but Kyle Rittenhouse was black. How would this case look?
That's
if somebody tried
saying,
to kill
so,
them.
I don't want to talk to the wall.
Hold on
right now, but I'm putting the information out there for those who do have ears to listen, have minds to open, have reason to understand that if Kyle Rittenhouse is convicted on these charges, it's a grave misjustice, and it's going to set precedence to where you can no longer defend your family against criminals. You just have to let the criminals victimize you. You have to let the criminals victimize you. Because if you stand up against a criminal,
absolutely not.
Then organized criminals such as the police will throw you in a cage and enslave you because you don't want to submit yourself to a criminal.
Well, what he's saying is actually true because they legislate in Missouri that the Castles Doctrine don't just mean in your house. It means in your car. It means the space that you are occupying on the sidewalk. That you do not have to retreat. Before, you had to show some sort of retreation. You had a black female at a service station in Florida, on video. And she was at the back pumping gas. A black man came up to her and was threatening her in a certain way. She opened up the back of her SUV, pulled out a rifle or a shotgun, and shot him. And nothing happened to her. She was defending herself.
Exactly.
But people wanted to.
That's why this case has nothing to do with it. This is going to establish white supremacy, meaning you can go to a protest with your guns out and shoot people.
Seven.
You feel
what
I'm
saying?
And shoot people.
Seven.
And then you can claim self-defense.
What's happening right here? You are
well,
falling.
You can claim self-defense.
Kevin, stop for a second. Let me tell you one more thing. You are falling for the propaganda. And you're assisting the system in spreading this propaganda so that when justice is actually carried out and Rittenhouse is acquitted so that we can defend ourselves, that the people that the media want to act a fool will go out and act a fool because the propaganda is saying that Rittenhouse was wrong. And you're feeding into that, and you're feeding the population that narrative so that when it does go awry, you have more rioting and more nonsense happening.
You used to say that blacks couldn't walk the streets with AR-15 and crossbows. Well, they do it in St. Louis. Brother Aruba walks the streets with other people, including some whites with him, and sometimes they don't be. In downtown St. Louis, by the Eagleton Court building, they're on 12th Street across the street from City Hall. They convene. Don't nobody bother. You had the same people when Trump was in St. Louis down at the Kiel Opera House for his rally. You had Aruba with his 9mm and his AR-15 and some other people walking up and down the east side of Kiel Auditorium with their stuff. The police didn't kill him.
Of course, listen. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a case where it's going to reestablish white men being able to kill with impunity in a lot of cases.
Well, Kevin, let me ask you a question. Now, in all honesty, real cool. As
real
of Thursday,
cool.
November the 11th, in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
2,769 blacks shot by other blacks
I don't
want to in 164
Chicago.
Days with 357 killings. Now, that's not talking about what's going on in St. Louis.
Right, so what about, I don't want to hear about Chicago.
Why not?
You know what I'm saying?
Ain't no place on the
Chicago.
Planet. Ain't no place on the planet where you have that type of mayhem going on recklessly like you do there. You can't name a place unless it's a war-torn area. You cannot name a place.
Well,
2,769, and you mad about a white citizen using self-defense to shoot three other people, two or three other people. What about the black child in Texas that went to his car? That's premeditation. And gets a gun and come back and shoot four people. Then he gets out on $75,000 bond, and the police charge him, the white police chief charge him with simple assault.
Well, look here. That was supposedly self-defense. Wasn't he getting bullied? But
he went to his when he went to his car and got the gun. The threat wasn't there.
Yeah, you can call me a bad name and I get to shoot you, and I get off because I say you bullied me. You called me a bad name. I was feeling bullied. I was feeling scared because he called me a bad name, so I shot him. Okay, cool.
And his parents said the bullying's been going on all year long. Well, why didn't they work to stop it?
Right, but to the Rittenhouse case, I can tell you that the fix is in. And like you mentioned something very crucial. You said you saw the judge, which I've seen clips of the judge going in on the prosecutor. So to me, it seems like the judge is working with the defense team. He's holding evidence on trial.
The judge,
he's working with the defense
because
he's going in on the prosecutor so much.
He went in on the prosecutor because the prosecutor criticized the defendant for remaining silent.
Let me ask you another question, Kevin. You remember Robert McCullough? You remember Robert McCullough? You remember the prosecutor in St. Louis County, Robert McCullough?
Right.
A black man killed his father. He became prosecutor and everybody hated him. Now you got Wesley Bell, a black man who was participating in Black Lives Matter. He's the prosecutor, and he will not put nobody to death that needs to be put to death. I think.
Right.
He said he was going to open up. He said he was going to reopen up and look at the Darren Wilson shooting of Mike Brown. And what did he do? What did he come back and say? He said nothing was wrong. Nothing was illegal.
Right. Well, we know what that is. Just because he's a black man in a position doesn't mean he still has bosses and rules that he has.
Well, why did you vote for him? Why did y'all vote for him? You've done the same thing with Kim Gardner, the black female down there in the city of St. Louis. You voted for her two times. And look how she's been handling stuff.
Right. Well, a lot of times, I mean, to our defense, a lot of times, and I didn't vote for Wesley Bell because I didn't live in the county at the time, but a lot of black people vote for other black people just because it's a black face, which is a thing that I hate because I don't, you know, just because it's a black face doesn't mean that their views are aligned to empower black people. You dig what I'm saying? So I don't necessarily.
What happened to the men? What happened to the black that shot and killed Captain Dorn?
They got
charged.
And
she filed charges against
them?
We
got to wrap it up. Yes,
I'll see you later.
Up, everybody. Thanks. This was a very heated conversation.
Peace. Grace up.
Bye, Roger.
We appreciate everybody. A lot of good information. We appreciate everybody. Tune in with us next week. Again, each and every Sunday at 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Send us an email if you need to at collectiveminds@yahoo.com. Find us on Instagram. Peace. Next week.
Yeah, they gonna feel it.
Hey.
Let that play out. Yeah.